Well, if you've got Matthew chapter 5 open, that might be helpful. We're now continuing our little time in Matthew's Gospel, which we will do until Easter time. But over this summer break, we're particularly just sitting on the Sermon on the Mount, which is what Jesus did. If you have a look at Matthew 5, verse 1, Jesus went up to the mountainside and he sat down. And then his disciples came to him and he began to teach them. That's the context of this Sermon on the Mount. I've called it blessings today because it's all about blessings. There's a lot of blessings being mentioned. Now, I don't know for you whether you've experienced some blessings over the last few days. Often at Christmas time we do. I was sitting at one point on Christmas Day. I'd had my in-laws there for lunch. My son and his wife and my two grandchildren had come from the south coast to visit. First time they had been in our house since we had moved there, as well as my other two daughters were with us as well, and I felt blessed. I felt really blessed to have all of my kids, my daughter-in-law and my two grandchildren there. There was a time when I wouldn't have stopped to pause and think about how blessed I was, except, well, like I said, it was the first time, for example, that some of them had even been in the house that we'd moved in back in May, I think. The last couple of years we've had have made just being with some people that we love something that reminds us of how blessed we are, when before maybe we had just taken it for granted. The Beatitudes, which is what this passage is often called, if you look up for a definition of Beatitudes, it's often called supreme blessedness. Not just blessedness, but supreme blessedness. It's next level blessedness. The sort of blessedness, I think, comes from something new and different to maybe what we have been used to before. I looked up a definition for blessing as well. In the Old Testament, a blessing is literally to kneel and to praise. It's our response to good things. If we are blessed, in the Old Testament, it means to kneel and to praise. It also means a state of happiness. And so when we ask to be blessed, it's to have happiness, to have good things bestowed upon us. Sometimes in the Old Testament we read, don't we, about people who received a blessing. What they're receiving is the promise or the hope of good things, or indeed good words. In the New Testament, the Greek word that's often translated as blessing or to bless is to praise or give a good report. So once again, it's about good things. But there's also, again, a hint of the sort of response that we have to being blessed that's built in, which is interesting. Anyway, I hope the last week or so has been a blessing for you in some way. But I wanted to talk about three things just coming from this passage this morning. And the first one is about how the Beatitudes, and indeed not just the Beatitudes, but going on to verse 16, the whole passage we've had read for us, is very much about being different. About being different. And I may have lost control. No, I have control, I think. Anyway, and so if you have a look at the list of things that we find in verses 3 to 10, that is the poor in spirit. Now, we've talked about this before, but just a reminder, if you don't know what spiritual poverty is or what it is to be poor in spirit, it is to have total dependence upon God. I used to describe it as being spiritually bankrupt or broken. And yet I guess the fuller understanding of it is not just that reality, but that turns us to a dependence on God, a total dependence on God. Those who mourn, I'm sure we know what mourning is. The meek, that's a word that we don't use often, but it's the quiet or the gentle or the submissive. It's not those who are pushing themselves forward. It's not those who have a desire to control others, or those who walk into the room necessarily and take charge, though it's interesting, sometimes people are able to do that and still balance that with a quietness and a gentleness. Those of us who are school teachers or who have worked around school teachers will know that some school teachers are not meek and some are. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who have a desire for the good things from God, indeed God's character himself, a desire for that. The merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those persecuted because of righteousness. These are the blessed, and there's something different about them to maybe how we often view ourselves or actually live or those around us do. There's not many who live with a total dependence on God because they realize their own spiritual bankruptcy. We all mourn at some point. And yet even some of us, as I've shared my own journey, some of us go through times of grief but fail to mourn. There is something that is helpful and helps us grow, as we looked at in the last series, with the idea of enlarging our soul through grief and loss. It's not blessed are those who just go through bad stuff. It's those who mourn the bad things they go through. Not everybody does that. This is a list that's quite a different, unique list. If we have a child who is meek, often we will tell them, don't be meek, stand up for yourself. Don't be bullied, push yourself forward. Make sure that you work for the prize. Merciful people, like not just virtue signaling people, but truly merciful people are hard to find in this world. The pure in heart are not common. Peacemakers are not everywhere. Those who are persecuted, not just because they're persecuted, but because of righteousness, and actually persecuted because they have sought good things, they're few and far between. This is a list of difference. This is a list that defines what it looks like to live in the kingdom of God rather than the kingdom of this world. That is why it's different. We had a vision when I was at Ryde Presbyterian Church. It was actually a vision for a values that we wanted in our church. Three main things: that we wanted to be a church of people that was engaged, people that were inclusive, and people that were growth-oriented. Because we found those three things didn't come naturally to us as a group, and yet we thought they were three things that were in the kingdom of God, things that God had created us to be and called us to be: engaged, inclusive, growth-oriented. And here Jesus, in these verses 3 to 10, gives us this sort of values vision statement for the kingdom of God. I hope you appreciate my images this morning. It's what happens when you Google search images for difference or different. But in verse 11, Jesus says, you are different when people persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. That is different, is it not? The idea that you would do that you would let people persecute you for somebody else, that's love, that's sacrificial love. And Jesus says, you will be blessed if you are one of those people. You'll be very different. He goes on to say in verse 13 that you are the salt of the earth. If we understand that phrase, once again, we've gone from the Beatitudes, but we're going into the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is talking about being different. The whole idea of being the salt of the earth is to be different. He even says if you lose your saltiness, you're no longer different and you are no longer of value when it comes to kingdom of God type things. He says, you are light, the light of the world. That's because the world is a dark place. That's the context in which Jesus speaks. It's all about being different. But I just want to go to the next step and realize, hopefully we all realize, that this is different in every way. This is next level different. If you go back to that list on verses 3 to 10, poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, all those things, have a look at the result. If you are poor in spirit, then you have the kingdom of God. As we walk through life, even though we are people who attend church, we don't always come across people who we can look at and go, they've got the kingdom of heaven. I look at my own life, I look in the mirror, and I think, I can't always look in the mirror and go, hey, Dave, You're just somebody who's got the kingdom of heaven. Or for that matter, can I look and say, Dave, you're comforted. I don't always feel like I'm going to inherit the earth. These things are not normal feelings, not normal behaviours, not who we naturally are as people in a broken, fallen world. This is different on every level. Not only are we different because we're poor in spirit and we show mercy and we're peacemakers, but the result of that, Jesus says, is underlines the difference. We are people who are shown mercy. We see God. We're called children of God. We have the kingdom of heaven. Notice the bookends that are there. It begins with have the kingdom of heaven, ends with have the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is our home, it's our state, it's our reality. We begin to live the value system of the kingdom, which is so different to the value system of the world. Our peace is different. Our connection to God is different. Our ownership of who we are and who we're called to be is so different. We're different in every way. And verse 12 underlines this again. It says, rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. What is this reward about? This is about being somebody who has been insulted and persecuted and had false things said about them because of Jesus. He says, rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus says, you've gone next level in the kingdom. You are somebody who is different to this world to the point of loving me sacrificially. This is indeed, I think, what Jesus was talking about at the end of John's Gospel when he reinstates Peter. He asked Peter three times, do you love me? Remember that? And there's that strange little thing where Jesus says to Peter, you know, when you were young, you went where you wanted to and you did what you wanted to do, but essentially he's saying, you are going to, Peter, go next level in the kingdom values. Because you are going to be bound and you're going to be taken where you don't want to go, but you'll go because you'll be somebody who is happy to be persecuted for me. When we go to the very end of the passage in verse 14, it says, you are the light of the world, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. And neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl, but it says, instead you put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. Now, Jesus, at the very beginning of his ministry, has sat down on a hill and he's telling his disciples how he sees it, how it's going to be different for them in the kingdom. And he says something quite radical. He says, you're going to be the light in this dark world. I really wish I'd been able to find an image of a whole lot of dark coloured ducks with one light bright coloured duck, but only had limited images available. But you're going to stand out as the light of the world. We're going to have an impact according to Jesus. We are to love greatly, indeed costly, sacrificially. And that's different to the world. We're going to look different. And this brings me to the final point. That is that we are the light of the world. Notice that my image now has nothing different there. That's just all of us lined up there. We don't actually all look the same, I know that, but we're all being brightly coloured ducks, shining brightly for the kingdom of God. Jesus says, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything. He goes on to say in verse 15, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Jesus is saying to his disciples, that's me, that's you. He's saying to his disciples, you're going to be a light. And it's not something for you to hide for the kingdom. If you're going to follow me, then I'm going to call you to shine brightly for the kingdom. It's really interesting because in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says something that's very different to verse 14 here. In verse 14, he says, "You are the light of the world." But do you know what he says in John 8, 12? He says, "I am the light of the world." Have you noticed the difference? In John 8, he says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," but if you are one of my disciples, if you want to walk kingdom values with me, then you'll be changed. And just as I'm the light of the world, I'm going to shine my light into you, and you then become the light of the world. It's very much like John 4:14, where we talked in the last sermon series about water a little bit. John 4:14, Jesus says, "I have this living water, and the living water that I have, I will give to somebody, and when they have this living water, then they become a wellspring of life." It's exactly the same thing. Jesus is saying, "I'm the light of the world. I have this light. I'll give it to you, and then you become the light of the world." But also all highlights how this happened, doesn't it? Because in John 15:5, Jesus reminds us, if you're going to bear fruit, if you're going to shine a light, if you're going to have living water, then you need to abide in me. The way it is that we get changed into people who are shining lights for the kingdom, the way that we start to grow in the values of the kingdom, is to abide in Christ. Jesus says in John 15:5, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." So we're called to be the light of the world, but only having been shaped and changed by him, the one who is the big light of the world. And so Jesus says, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." It's a great verse just to sit and pause for a moment. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Once again, notice, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that the glory here goes to God, because he is the one that has given us the light that shines from us. And so Jesus would say, so let your light shine. Because Jesus was always on about glorifying the Father, wasn't he? And so Jesus says to the disciples, I want to give glory to the Father, but this is your opportunity to give glory to the Father as well, as you shine the light that he has given to you. Now, this is very early in Jesus' ministry, and I'm pretty sure they would have been thinking, how's this going to happen? And like I said with Peter, that actually, that moment where I think Jesus really hammers it home for Peter as to how it is that he's going to shine a light, that actually happens after his death and resurrection. The disciples, this is the beginning of the journey for them. And for us in Matthew's gospel and Jesus' ministry, it's the beginning of the journey for us, which we'll be going over the next couple of months. But they must have been wondering, how is this going to happen? Well, the great thing is we know how it's going to happen. That Jesus was going to demonstrate through his own death. They were going to try and put the light of the world out. And he would be out temporarily, but he would come back shining again. And he would show how we can change the world, not through power, but through meekness. Not through pride, but spiritual poverty. Not through persecuting others or demanding things from others, but rather through mercy. Through being peacemakers. Through these values that Jesus outlines at the beginning of Matthew chapter 5. In 2020, the sermon series that we looked at the end of the year, the fourth sermon series, was on following the way of Jesus, practicing the way of Jesus. based on a book by Mark Scandretti, and Mark spends a lot of time actually looking at the Beatitudes. He sees them as so much a foundation for Christian faith and walk and discipleship. And he says, as you go through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is just laying out for his disciples something that's just so different, so upside down from anything that they would have experienced in the world, to paint a picture of this new kingdom that Jesus declared had now arrived as he had arrived. As I have mentioned the last few weeks as well, all this points to our mission statement, to love God and to love every other person that God brings before us in any and every day. So what we're doing in 2022, last year we had a theme, as we did the year before that. We had a theme for the year. Our theme for 2022 is simply loving God, loving others. It's our new mission statement, and we want to focus on it. And we thought, rather than confuse and make it too busy in 2022 with regards to what it is that we're looking at, we wanted to keep it simple, and so we thought we would have our vision statement as our theme for 2022. I've also been told that it takes at least 15 times of saying something from up the front before people start to listen to what you're saying. And so I hope that when the slide comes up during the sermon that has loving God, loving others, you don't go, oh, he's going to go on about that again. But rather you'll go, he's going on about it again. This is so exciting. This is who we're called to be. This is how we shine our light. This is the thing that I want to be engaged and growth-oriented about. This is something that I want to be inclusive about. This is one of the things that drives me to want to have a church that is inclusive. I'm hoping that in 2022 we'll get the opportunity to walk together and discover more things about our loving God, things that define his love and what that is like, things that help us understand and walk in his love better, but also new and exciting, maybe fresh ways of how it is that we as a community and as individuals love those that God brings before us. So to finish off this week, and if you've been to the link that's in REMAC and on our website for our page that's an explanation on loving God and loving others, hopefully you'll have seen that there's three icons. There's one icon that represents loving God, that God's love for the world. The other is the way God has loved us through Christ and the way that enters our hearts. And then also the third and final icon, which is in the middle of that light bulb. I don't know if you can see it well on the screen, but basically the shape of a heart but two hands. That's the third and final icon. That is the where we love those around us. Love those that God brings before us in practical and real and meaningful ways. And that's obviously where we want to be going, because that's what it is to be salt. That's what it is to shine our light. And we want to do that. And so one of the things that we could do this week, I was thinking, as we think about the Beatitudes in particular, is to choose one of the characteristics of the blessed that you struggle with. Choose one of the characteristics of what it is to be in the kingdom of God for you. Some of us don't have a problem with being meek. Some of us that comes easily to. Some of us, we have a trouble being a peacemaker. Some of us, we have an issue with pride and we have trouble being poor in spirit. There may be one of those as you go through them that in particularly, if you wanted to, if nothing stands out for you today, maybe tomorrow when you have a quiet time to sit with God and ask him, I'm going to read through these, God. I'm going to read through them slowly. I'm going to read through them a few times. Could you maybe help one of them to stand out, the one that you would like me to focus on, with the purpose of bringing it to God each day this week, to seek his help in looking different to the world in this characteristic. Now, that's very vague, but that's because I don't know which one it is that God might speak to you through. I don't know what it is that he's going to say. I don't know why it is an issue for you. That's something for you to work out, I guess. But to bring it to God each day, just over this next week. If it is, for example, the idea of being a peacemaker. As you think about that each day, God might challenge you or encourage you in ways or in relationships or specific situations where you may be able to step in and be a peacemaker. You might need to ask him how. You might need to ask him for help and strength. And the third one is really key, I think, that we don't just go and try and do that in our own strength, but slow down for loving union with God so that your light might shine. In other words, his light through you. So get God's help in how you do it. Don't just sit and get the, yep, you've got to go talk to this person and go and do it in your own strength. But spend some time getting some light, getting some living water from God. You might think of something different to do this week, but I encourage you to be engaged and growth-oriented when it comes to the values and how it is that we grow in the kingdom of God. Exercises like this, similar to this, can be helpful for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing love for us in Christ Jesus. And we also thank you for the opportunity we have shortly to come to your table, to be reminded that we receive the living water, we receive the light, we receive the body, the blood, indeed the nature, the spirit of Christ from you. And this is what it is that we need. To be a community, to be individuals that will shine a light, will be a spring of living water, will indeed be able to love those that you put before us. In Jesus' name, amen.